Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Thank you so much. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to read the Word of God and then... No guarantees. Do you still feel the presence of God in here?
Amen.
Is it just me? Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 20. I need you to turn this down a little bit because I guess I get a little loud as far as that's concerned. Today we're going to talk about the power of praying in the Spirit. And this fits so appropriately with what the Lord is doing right now. We're going to pick up at verse 14. This is a familiar portion of Scripture, I believe. A few months ago, I shared on it, but I have a greater insight of what God wants to do with us today. So starting at verse 14, the responding verses, please read them. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and the scribes disputing with them. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out. They could not. Then he brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion and help us. I want you to read that again. Read it again. And Jesus said, get in sync, read it one more time. Jesus said, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw then the spirit cried out and convulsed him greatly and came out of him, and he said, and he became as one dead. So many said, he's dead. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? Verse 29 together. And he said to them, this kind comes out with nothing but fast and fast. Let's pray. Lift your hands as we pray right now.
Amen.
Father, I want the word of God to sink deeply into people's hearts today. With their hands lifted, that's a sign of surrender. And Lord, any idea that they've had, any thought they've had that's contrary to your word that says all things are possible to those who believe, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Because Lord, we're going to fill their hearts with faith and with the idea of knowing that God is about to do something beyond what they could imagine. And I pray in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit would take over an ambush full of people that came here today just wondering what it's all about. And so, Lord, we want to be those people that will learn how to pray in the power of the Spirit, that we will cast the demons out and we will rejoice in the power of God. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said,
amen.
Turn to somebody, tell them this. My life's going to be different when I walk out that door. You can have a seat. The confession you just made is the reality of what God has in store for us today. I realize according to the clock, I have 32 minutes. I'll do the best I can. But no guarantees. I want to talk to you today about prayer. When talked about in simple terms, is the means of communication with God in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. But what about this? There are times in our communication with the Lord that there are reasons for an emphasis on the urgency of our situation with great impetus on things that we deem as to require a deeper expression of emotion we feel necessary to invoke a greater response. In other words, sometimes you get loud. Come on. In the name of Jesus, it's perfectly fine. I'm like, in the name of Jesus, this has got to go. And I want to tell you, that's not just your idea. That's something that's in your spirit that says, you know what? I'm tired of this. You know what? The Spirit's tired of this, and this has got to go. And I think of some of you that are sitting here today that says, oh, I am so done with this. I am so ready to move on. I'm so ready to have the power of God to work in my life. I don't know why I'm getting so excited. I'm not at that point yet. But anyway, but there's something God is going to shift in the way that you think. Well, regardless of what you may think, the power of your prayer rests on our faith and belief in Jesus and his ability to do all things according to his word and our spiritual journey of discovery of how to pray in the power of the Spirit will bring us to a place of victory. To pray in the power of the Spirit will bring us to a place over the things that we would think were impossible by releasing our faith to come into alignment with the promises of God's Word. I'm going to read to you promises of God's Word that should change your life forever. So what does that mean? I'm going to make some statements rather than ask questions today. First statement is this. No human can pray without divine help from the Lord. And you know what I found out? You don't have to be saved to pray. What? We said the scripture says, oh, we know this. God doesn't hear sinners pray, but you know something? God will hear the prayer of someone in desperate situation, and because of who he is, he can answer whoever he wants.
Amen.
These folks over here believe that better than y'all. I'm here to break down that barrier that says some of you feel like you've been so bad or you're still stuck in your addiction that God will not listen to me when I pray. I want to add news for you. God is the only one that can author a prayer through you. What does that mean? Second statement is this. Praying in the Spirit is a supernatural activity empowered in the life of a believer by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to talk to you now about praying in the power of the Spirit. See, all prayers are orchestrated by God, but those who are filled with the Spirit have access to God in a way that is supernatural. That when you're praying in the Spirit, you'll pray for things that you normally wouldn't pray for. That you would have no faith to pray for, but all of a sudden there's something comes over and says, oh, in the name of Jesus, this got to stop now.
Amen.
Well, last statement is this. Praying in the Spirit is a result of walking and worshiping in the Spirit. And if you ever get to a place where your prayers are stuck, I dare you to throw up your hands and start worshiping. I dare you to forget about everything else and say, you know, God, you are so good. You've done so many great things in my life. I cannot do anything better but serve you, to love you with all of my heart. And all of a sudden, that which was thought you was impossible, your heart has been changed by the power of the Spirit. I want you to jump into scripture, prayer and the power of the Spirit. Speaks to barrenness. And you'll find this in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 10 through 17. Great portion of scripture, but I want to talk to those people that are barren today. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Let's stop right at that verse. There are times that each one of us have been so entrenched with the problems that are going on in our life that it's like bitterness in our soul. We can't move past it. We can't ignore it. I'm going to ask a bold question right now. Anybody live on that street, lift your hand. Lift it up high. It's okay. That's not an indictment. It's just where you are at this point. But you know what? When you leave today, it's going to be different. So get ready to get released from that. Let's go on to the next verse, next few verses. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you would indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Next verse, please. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. And now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. Just leave that scripture up there for a moment. I want to get to a couple of points here that we need to get to. Our humanists can touch the heart of God, but this thing that happened was the Holy Spirit is aware of the things in our life that affect us, and even when we are misunderstood, he will attend to our need. And so the Holy Spirit will show us great passion and understanding. Hannah's heart was in tune with the Spirit of God. But we're going to finish the scripture. Don't go to the Romans one yet. Well, so, and then here's what happens. So Eli says to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. See, some folks think you're crazy. Some people say, you have lost your mind. The way you're just acting like this, I don't know how you need to go see somebody and get yourself straightened out. Isn't that true? Because they've diagnosed your situation because nobody normal does the things that you're doing. I want to tell you there's a realm that we come to that when we're in desperation with God that people don't understand us. But there's sometimes that we can't make a real prayer, a real eloquent prayer. The only thing that will come out of our spirit is kind of a groaning that says, oh God, you know. And he fills in the blanks for you. You can't explain it to other folks. They'd never understand. Well, let me finish this little section here. So Eli said to her, but Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now. Some of you say, I've had enough. I don't think I can go any further. And I don't mean that you say it disrespectfully, but you know, it's like, what else can I do? And I think some of you reach the end of your rope or the end of your way or the end of the way you can express yourself. Says, I don't know what else I can do to explain to God how this has affected me. I know some of you living on that street right now. But I want to let you know that that's praying in the Spirit, when we come to the end of ourselves, that's where you'll find Jesus. When you come to the end of your plan or the way that you can fix it, that's when the Holy Spirit will show up in ways you never could imagine would happen. And you can't take any credit for it. Well, that's a pretty amazing thing when God can do that in our life. And we're going to see a demonstration of that in just a few moments. But the idea of it is that God wants to make us, put us in a place of change. Now I'll go to the scripture that's over in Romans 8:26. It says this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Anybody want to confess, I'm weak? Put it up there. The rest of you, I don't know where you're getting your super strength from. But in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. It doesn't mean we know what to pray for, but we don't know what is it going to take to get the answer that I'm asking for. Some of you may have fasted. Some of you may have done all the different types of things. You got a prayer book, whatever it happens to be. Pray through the Psalms. Pray through Proverbs. But it didn't seem to change anything. It goes a little bit further as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. I want to know, sometimes you say, oh, and God knows exactly what that means. Come on, anybody going to go, oh, Jesus. Oh, don't try to look all spiritual. He says, And you know, he knows. There's a song, I love the Lord, he heard my cry and pitied every groan. Long as I live and troubles rise, I'll hasten to his throne. That's one of those songs. Long as I live and troubles rise, I'll hasten to his throne. But he heard every cry, every groan. Because sometimes you don't know what to say. But somehow he knows, he has the interpretation of the groans of the people of God. Oh, that's an amazing thing. Well, glory to God. Get encouraged already because we're about to make some headway here. The Lord understands even when men do not utter a word. Prayers in the Spirit go beyond words of expression. I know some of you have experienced the ability to speak in tongues. And this is not an indictment against anybody, so don't take it the wrong way. But I'll tell you what, even when you're praying in the Spirit and you're speaking in tongues, the release that God can give you, but there's sometimes that won't even work. Sometimes you just kind of just go, oh, and the Spirit takes over. Amen. He can take you places where nothing else can take you. Praying the Spirit opens up a storehouse of blessings for those who are willing to forsake their pride. And Hannah did not care what the people around her thought about her. Some of you cannot get an answer to your prayers because you are just, I don't want anyone to think that I'm crazy. If you really knew what they thought, you wouldn't. Honey, they've already marked you. She's a little different, a little special. I want you to be willing to relinquish the reputation that you thought you have to get the reputation that God knows about you. That he can bring you to an expression where you can get a new identity in Christ. And that is a beautiful thing. And so her desire for what she wanted did not end with her. Here's my question. Why do you want to get healed? So I can be well. So I don't hurt anymore. You must seek God for something that's greater than you. And many times it's, well, I just want to feel better. Why? So you can binge watch TV? I mean, I'm serious. I'm so serious with this, I can't tell you how serious I am. Why do you want to be well and why do you want to be healed? And you need to, if you can't answer that question, that you want to expand or that you can love God more or worship God more or to expand his kingdom, what's the point in healing you? Get another passive Christian on his hands. Are you kidding me? I'm sorry, I'm a little exasperated. Just forgive me. Well, but here's the part. She was willing to give back to the Lord the very thing she wanted so much. If God gave you what you're asking for, and he required you to give it to someone else, would you do it? That's not fair. Yes, it is. Because in that is the trust of the fact that God will never leave you lacking of anything. And the very thing that I got to finish this story for you, it's not in this particular chapter, but I want to tell you that after Hannah gave her son Samuel, who was an incredible gift to the kingdom of Israel, God gave her more children. She couldn't have any. He gave the one that she had with no guarantee she'd get anything else, and God blessed her beyond that. Don't be afraid to give away what you wanted because God's got something better for you beyond it. Amen. But don't do it for that reason. Well, oh, I know, this is like an investment plan. Really? Good Lord, have mercy, Jesus. We even like these folks go down to the casino to make investments. 28, 16, I felt it in. Whatever. Hannah knew that Samuel was a direct answer to her prayer. 1 Samuel verses 27, 28, and we'll get rid of those. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked the Lord for him from the Lord. Verses 27 and 28, please. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me the petition that I asked for. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. Wow. But the question for me is, why did she put that phrase in there, lent? It's a powerful word. It's a lent without intent. It's a lent with the fact that I really realize it's mine. I've lent it to the Lord, and he's in the presence of the Lord. He's given to God, but he's going to stay there the rest of his life. But I'm still attached to him. But every time I think about this son, it will remind me of God's faithfulness to me. He's still mine, but he belongs to God. Can you allow the connection that God has for you? That she remembered the Lord had met her in a powerful way, and she fulfilled her vow. Well, her prayer led her to worship for the Lord, for answered prayer. Worship before him to get the things you really want. Let me take you to another place. And this is, I love this place. It's in Ezekiel. I'll probably only get through part way through this message, but I don't really care, because this is the best part anyway. The prayer in the spirit is not fearful of confronting things that appear to be dead. Can I get an amen right here? Because there's some things you say, oh, that's over with, and that's never going to happen. Well, I'll just kind of move on from that. But what about this? Ezekiel chapter 17, verses 1 through 14. One of my favorite scriptures in the Old Testament. And the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me into the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley that was full of dry bones. And he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And so I answered, O Lord, you know. Safe answer. And he's right. Only the Lord knows. Move on to the next few verses. And again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will bring breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Leave that scripture up there for a moment. The question is, and actually I think I know the answer, of how many of you really know Jesus? And the hands will go up, yeah, I do. But what about the scripture here? It says, then you shall know that I am the Lord. Some of you, the proof that you need to have that he is the Lord is that God wants to resurrect something that's dead in your life. When you see something that you feel is just dead, over with, could never be resurrected as far as that's concerned, and God brings it back to life, you say, oh, I just thought it was never coming. And all of a sudden you get all excited. And somehow God is going to bring that to pass for several people in this room today. Of something you said, well, that's never going to happen. It's, you know, it's gone bye-bye as far as that's concerned. But it's interesting to know that God says, then you'll know that I am the Lord. Let me get to a few more verses. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, and there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over them, but there was no breath in them. Ever saw something that you thought was coming together, and it just didn't quite finish? And some of you are sitting here today in that state. It's almost put together, but you're waiting for those last things to come together. The breath that you're waiting to come upon that situation is the breath of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you know what? You're in the right place at the right time on the right day. Praise God. Oh, give him a hand, praise. Go ahead and praise. Well, Ezekiel said, Lord, you know. And praying the Spirit will require us to go after things that we have never experienced before. That's a scary place to be. And I'm very careful, and I'm trying to be very careful, very cautious, but not cautious to the point that it fosters unbelief. Some of you are too cautious. I don't want to go there, you know. I don't want people to think I'm crazy. Well, people already think you're crazy. You're just confirming. Praying in the Spirit is to prophesy according to the words given to you by the Lord. Simply put, when we pray, we speak the word of the Lord over things that once had life. That meaning, we pray over things that had life stolen from them. I do not want you to respond by lifting your hands. But how about engaging your heart? Many of you sitting here today, you need the Holy Spirit to breathe life into dead relationships. It could be between you and your spouse. It could be between your kids. It could be you and your boss. It could be between you and your neighbors. And that particular situation really bothers you. And you prayed about it. But today, I want you to prophesy to it. I want you to prophesy to it what God puts in your heart, that whatever it is that's caused this thing to be this way, I come against it in the name of Jesus, and it's got to go today. I'm not going to be intimidated. I'm not going to be inhibited by things that I think. And a lot of things are in your mind, and you've got to fix in your mind how it should be or how they should behave or what things they need to change. And you know what God's trying to do? He's trying to change you.
Amen.
Well, when we speak the word of God over things that once had life, we pray over things that lost their purpose and ability to function the way they were created to. Ezekiel prophesied and commanded the bones to come together and regain their purpose and function. Let's get these last few verses here. So, neither recovered with sinews, and their skin came upon them, but there was no breath in them. Go on the next few verses, and we'll finish this out. Also, he said to me, prophesy breath, excuse me, to breathe, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied, and he commanded me, as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Last few verses, please. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel, and they indeed say, our bones are dry, and our hope is lost, and we ourselves have been cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from the graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall say that I am the Lord. Then you shall say that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought up from your graves. Verse 14, I will put my spirit in you. Anybody want God's spirit in you? Wave your hand at me. Make the devil real mad. Wave it high. Leave it up there for a few moments and get him disgusted. Okay. Put my spirit in you. And you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, that you shall know that I am the Lord, and have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Amen. Can I get the hallelujah from God? Glory to God. Praise Jesus. The breath of the Holy Spirit is released through the mouths of those who pray the will of God over those things that have been declared dead. I want to at least address the fear of those people that says, well, There's no way I can fix this situation. But Jesus can. Can I tell you how to pray over that situation you think is dead? Over that person that hasn't talked to you in 10 years? Over that children that, or a child that won't return a phone call? Well, I know I'm speaking to somebody right now. Won't acknowledge what you've done. In the spirit, you say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke every demon that has interrupted communication between me and my daughter, between me and my son. I cast them out in the name of Jesus. I no longer will live in confusion, doubt, or fear, that because God has given me has not given me the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Is that the word of God? That's the word you're going to preach. Come on, work with me, folks. Stop the fear-mongering that's going on in your spirit and begin to declare the word of God. I will not put up with this any longer. I'm going to allow the spirit of God to raise up in me and to cast these things out. But some of you guys are like, oh, that's just the way they are. That's the way teens are nowadays. They're non-communicative. You know, it's just a new culture. The culture of disrespect, I come against it. The culture of lies and indifference and dismissal, I come against it in Jesus' name. You have been living so far beneath the privilege of what God has placed within you. Oh, Jesus, help me. Glory to God. Oh, I'm feeling frustrated. The clock says I got 5 minutes. I'm going to take 10. I don't care. Anyway, praying in the Spirit will cause death, the dead to dance again. Glory to God. All right. I got to define this for you because I won't be sharing with you next week, so I got to fix this thing. Fasting that releases miracles by praying in the power of the Spirit. Mark chapter 9, verses 28 and 29, just a couple of verses. Powerful ones, though. And when we come to this house, the disciples said to him pridefully, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. I want to dispel the myth that in order for you to cast demons out, you have to fast. That is not biblical. You say, what? He said, this kind only comes through fasting and prayer. The kind he's talking about this kind of faith only comes through fasting and prayer. You need to fast in prayer to get to the faith aspect of when you come against the devil, say, oh, no, we ain't doing this. Where you don't have to take a back seat to the devil anymore. Say, oh, you got to go today. Because here's what, if you look at the scripture here, Jesus had already given them the authority to cast out demons. And so they said, we brought them to your disciples, but your disciples couldn't do it. I wish I could wave my hand and all unbelief would be eradicated from everybody in this room. But the story is very well put when the man says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. This is going to be a tough one for you. How many of you still struggle with unbelief? Lift your hand. Don't be playing games. It's okay that you admit it. We say, well, that means you're going to put me on a 20-day fast? Nope. You get to decide how long the fast is going to be. Fast till you believe him. Somebody said, I got to eat someday. Jesus, I believe you. No, seriously, I need to wind this up, but there must be some significance to the fact that Jesus, before he launched his ministry, was in the wilderness for 40 days. And believe me, don't even attach that to the fact that that's what I'm suggesting. But I am hopeful to say this to you, that God will give you an opportunity to spend time with him and will show you how to address unbelief. Well, our belief in Jesus will position us to receive miracles. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For this reason I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day. Here's the question. Do you know him? Well, that's weak. Do you know him?
Yes.
Do you know in whom you have believed?
Yes.
Do you confess that he's able
yes.
to keep that which you've committed unto him
yes.
until that day?
Yes.
You know, I say, the one particular Bible puts it, until, instead of using the word until, against that day. I like that one because it says, against that day when I no longer feel like I believe. Because there'll become days in your life when you don't believe. Like, one day you believe God for one thing, next day you say, I don't know whether God's going to do this or not. But I know in whom I believe, and I know he's able to keep that which I'm committing against the day when I don't feel like he can.
Amen.
He can still do it because he is able. Come on, say he's able. Because that's what it's all about. Well, my praying in the Spirit. Oh, my goodness. Requires that we confront the problem with direct words from the Spirit. Oh, this is where it's a good place to end, okay? Mark 9:25. Yeah, Mark 9:25. I think it's the last scripture you got. Hey, there we go. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit and said to him, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out from him. But I like the last part. And enter him no more. You need to stop praying incomplete prayers. You'd be casting the devil out every week. And he says, he didn't tell me I couldn't come back. Here I am again. When you cast that spirit out, says, you come out and don't you enter in here again. You are not welcome here ever again. You lying spirit, you get out and don't you ever come back. And you know what? You've got the power to do that. Jesus spoke to the spirit that controlled the young boy. And the Bible says that he made an exodus. But here's the part that happened that may be scary to you. He says, verses 26 and 27. I'm going to read this to you. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly and came out of him, and he came as one that was dead. So many thought he was dead. The devil will take his last strike at you and make you think that your prayer was ineffective. Well, I love what Jesus does. Even though the child seems to be, well, you know, they said, oh, he's dead. And Jesus looked, took a look at it, took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. That thing you think is dead, put your hand out and bring it back to life. God gave you a responsibility. Don't leave it dead on the floor. If you have rebuked the devil, bring him back up. Use some faith to reach down and say, oh, he's dead. No, he's not. If you did it in the name of Jesus, he's got to come up.
Amen.
Glory to God. Worship team, come back up here. I'm doing the best I can because there's some business we're going to do in just the last few moments. There are three ways to overcome unbelief. Well, actually, I'm going to ask you a few questions, and I need to answer these, and then I'll give you those things. Number one, do you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead? How many believe that?
Yes.
Raise your hand. We got to vote on all these. Good. Number two, do you believe Jesus is your Lord?
Yes.
Put your hand up. Do you believe he's coming back again?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that solid statement of belief makes you a candidate for the righteousness of God to be manifest in your life? Now watch this. There are three ways you can overcome unbelief. Number one, knowing the will of God. Romans 10:17. So by faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You got a little handout today. I want you to work on that this week. But there's scriptures you're going to read that are going to fortify your faith. Listen to the word of God, and it will fortify you. Number two, Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Reject fear. Some of you are afraid to pray about certain things. Oh, it doesn't happen. Let me take you to the last one, and then we're just going to corporately come together and watch God do some miraculous things. Believe in your heart that God loves you. Everybody stand on your feet. We're going to repeat this one together. What does it say? Repeat it. For God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, Jesus. Father, release faith in this room in an infinite capacity that we would be able to speak words toward those things in our life that we thought were dead. Lord, our emotions have been hijacked by circumstances. Our thoughts have been dominated for fear of the future. Lord, a few moments ago, you released some people. But Lord, there is a number of people here today that need to apply the faith of who Jesus is to their situation and come to you in absolute surrender that they may experience the love that you have for them. Because you so love them that you sent Jesus. Oh, glory to God. That they might have everlasting life. I got to start the top of the list. If you're standing today and you have not surrendered your life over to Jesus, I want you to lift your hand and say, I haven't done it yet. Just lift it up. I want to see. If you're here, you haven't given it to Jesus. Lift it up where I can see it. Because this is the day for you to get that taken care of. Yeah. Lift them up high because I'm kind of walking toward the middle of the aisle. I don't want to miss nobody. I have a question for you. Are you ready to do it today?
Amen.
If you're ready, I want you to come down this aisle right now. Come to me. Come right now. Come right now in Jesus' name. If you're really ready to make that decision, don't wait for somebody else to do it. You make your decision. Oh, they're coming. They're coming. That's right. Come on. Don't you wait for somebody else. You make your trip down here. Before we move on to the next category, I'm going to speak into someone's life right now. There's two women here today. Two. Could be more, but I can only, in my spirit, identify two. And your struggle is the fact of not believing that God can forgive you for what you've done. And you're being held hostage by the taskmaster that says, if you can just wait a few minutes, you can go out the door and your life will be the same and nobody will ever know. If you're done living that masquerade of a life, I want you to come right now and let Jesus change your life. Two women, step out now. That's right. Come on, dear. Come on, sweetheart. She's not the only one. The other lady this year, I want you to be brave. We will applaud what Jesus is doing, but you've got to make this step of faith to come to him. If you're here, I'm going to give you this last, you have 10 seconds to respond. If you don't, it won't be on me. But if you need to come, come now. Because Jesus wants to take care of your life, wants to change you. Now, here's the last little part that I think is going to be wonderful. The struggle for people that are here today that are living between two worlds. Oh, man. Oh, this one hits me hard. Someday you're for God, someday you're not. It's time for you to come. If that's you, come right now. Come on, come on, come on. Here they come. Here they come. Come on. Come on, there's more. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, applaud the Lord as they're coming. Come on. Oh, there's more. Come on. I guess I need to rebuke the devil. In the name of Jesus, I cast out every demonic force that's hindering people from coming to Jesus today. You come right now and resist the devil that's been controlling your life. Because God is the one who can do it. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, come on, come on. I'm not going to sit down until y'all come on. Come on now. Come on, come on. I want to speak to those of you that are here today that have experienced the death of something that needs to come alive again in Jesus. Your passion for the Lord died. It was over a situation, over a circumstance. It wasn't caused by God. Maybe it was caused by some foolish act that you committed. Doesn't matter. But I need to tell you, first of all, God is not through with you yet. But you must come today to admit the fact that you want him to restore the revival of the miracle of God restoring to you that which was dead. It's hard to admit sometimes that you've been dead to the things of God. But I want to give you an opportunity for several people here today. Says, you know, Pastor, I can't live like this any longer. I realize the miracle that God wants to do in me today is to restore my passion for Jesus, to restore the joy of the Lord as being my strength. If that is you, I want you to make your way to this altar right now in Jesus' name. Come in Jesus' name. If it's time to restore it, come right now in Jesus' name. There's one of them coming now. Come on. Don't wait for somebody else. God is talking to you. Come now in Jesus' name. Come now in Jesus' name. There's not that one lady. There's several other people like that. Because you say, well, what about the miracle part? I haven't forgotten about that. Well, the greatest miracle is to be under the auspices of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, everybody's hands lifted. Everybody, everybody. I'm going to speak some words. And if you can say amen to them, the miracle's yours. Leave them up there. Dear God, from this day forward, we confess you as resurrected King over every situation that we face. And by the power of God, we will no longer be enslaved to the things of the enemy. Right now, we rebuke the devil. We rebuke the lie that tells us we are not a conqueror in Christ Jesus. We rebuke all the things that would cause us to be hung up or to be entangled with things of the world. And we resist it now with everything that's within us. And we yield our body to you to be used by you. And everything that is not the way you designed to be, Lord, we submit to the power of the Holy Spirit to renew us in Jesus' name. Lord God, we rebuke cancer. We rebuke all types of sugar, diabetes, high blood pressure, all those different things. Lord, we yield those things now because you want us to be whole and healthy to perform the things of God. And Lord, we receive these by faith, not because we earn it, not because you owe it to us, but because that's our inheritance in Jesus. And Lord, I thank you today for the joy, for the love, for the peace, for the sanctification of those who are righteous in God. And Lord, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise for all that you have done and will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Shout to the Lord and give him thanks. Come on. Come on. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.